It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
It's Thursday, December 22nd.
From inside the WTOP newsroom, this is the DMV Download podcast brought to you by Steamfitters Local 602. Get an estimate and learn more at steamfitters-602.org.
Girls want to wrestle in the Commonwealth. There's a growing movement among members of the Virginia High School League trying to create a female wrestling league. Coach Charles Phillips from Alexandria's Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology says more and more girls are showing interest in takedowns, pins, and arm bars.
It's funny. Girls actually do it more technical. Like guys, a guy trying to learn wrestling, he's going to try to power his way through it. It is harder to pin a girl than it is a guy.
And we also talked to some of the players themselves who say wrestling not only has them feeling stronger and part of a community, but it also gives them a newfound sense of confidence.
We're such a close-knit community that I don't even think about how other people view me as a girl wrestling. I just get on the mat and I'm like, I'm going to wrestle.
Thanks for joining us. I'm Megan Cloherty.
And I'm Luke Garrett. For years, high school wrestling teams across the region have been co-ed. I was on one. But now there's a push for girls-only teams at more and more schools, especially in Virginia.
Right. In Virginia, one of those programs is at Thomas Jefferson High School for Science and Technology. And head coach there, Charles Phillips, joins us now on Zoom. Thanks for being here, coach.
Thank you for having me.
So listen, before we get started, just I want to know the basics about your program. We understand you had some strong interest from women at the school to try and start a female-only team. But tell us about the team you have and how it's gotten started this year.
Well, ma'am, I would have to go back 5 years when I first came to Thomas Jefferson. We had a young lady by the name of Maya Parker on the team already.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a young lady, and I literally thought she came to be like a manager. Her name was Brianna Tarr. So Brianna said, no, I'm here to wrestle. Brianna Tarr, she was instrumental in growing this team, her and Maya. Brianna Tarr is the first girl to make it to states from our district.
Wow.
Just more and more girls start getting interested. I think right now we got about 9 girls on the team.
Wow.
And coach, can you talk about the sport of wrestling and girls playing in it? I think some people like, oh, girls and wrestling, they might think it doesn't go together, but can you explain how it does and how you've seen it?
It's funny. Girls actually do it more technical. Like guys, a guy trying to learn wrestling, he's going to try to power his way through it. Girls will tell you, if you see some of the girls that wrestle guys, it is harder to pin a girl than it is a guy. They're just more flexible, and girls aren't going to ego through it. They're going to do what they got to do to win.
That's a really hot take. I love that because you don't necessarily have the strength if you go up against a guy,
right.
But you have if you do the moves tactically, you might just beat him on the pin or whatever, right?
And the really good girls that wrestle and the really good boys that wrestle, they think more of the technical way of taking you down versus, oh, I'm just going to power through it.
Right.
And it's funny. You say 106. We had, Brianna wrestled 106, and she actually wrestled against the school that I used to coach at. And she beat this little boy, and he came to me crying. And he's like, I said, stop crying. And he's like, no, coach, you understand? I got beat by a girl. And I said, nah, dude. You're looking at this wrong.
Mm.
You got beat by a better wrestler who happens to be a girl.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You know, so it happens. The good thing about it is now girls get a chance to go against other girls because, a 106 girl got a chance. A 113 girl got a chance. A 120 girl has a chance. But as girls start getting upper in weight,
mm-hmm.
it's a strength thing. You know what I mean? It becomes about some strength. And I don't care. We haven't had a girl that's 186 or 176, be able to compete really well on the varsity level against boys.
Hey, I have a question for you, and I want to turn it to the girls that we have waiting in the rafters here on Zoom. But why do you think this is happening now? You've been in wrestling for a while. Why do you think we're seeing this interest surge? Because there were those few pioneers, or why do you think now?
I think the few pioneers that stepped up and the girls who said, hey, we want to compete. We want to compete. We want an opportunity. As a coach, my girls will tell you, it has been times where I haven't went to a boys tournament. And I, in the very first couple of years, I went to all the girls tournaments because I knew how important it was and hard it was for girls to break into this thing. Mm. So I wanted to make sure that they understood that I'm one head coach that is going to support my girls.
That's awesome. Well, that's what you need in a coach anyway, right? Somebody's going to stand up for you and got your back.
Hey, we're TJ Strong.
I love it. Ladies, can you unmute yourselves? We want to talk to you and thank you for waiting. It's JL, Audrey, and Emma, right? Yes. Nice. Hi, guys.
So just to start, you know, what inspired you all to start this sport and how do you like it?
Yeah, let's start with Emma. I kind of, just because that way we aren't talking over ourselves.
So I actually wrote my Common App about this getting into wrestling. I started, it's actually a really funny story. It was a little bit of an accident. So I had a miscommunication with somebody who was on the team. He graduated. And I ended up going to wrestling practice for a day, which was something I really never thought that I was going to do, but I loved it. The one thing that really stood out to me, I think, was just like learning about the technique. I loved learning about how I can make other people move in certain ways by using my own leverage. And I think it was just really the physics behind the sport is what really got me, just the strategy.
Totally.
So, of course, it was really difficult. I felt isolated at first because I felt like I was really weak. Like coach, he was shouting at everyone to do 100 push-ups. And at that point, I couldn't even do one. So I felt like I started really behind other people. But I think through working hard and I guess like learning resilience, I was able to build myself back up. And I'm really proud of where I am now as a senior. I've been really successful. I recently got second place at one of the biggest girls tournaments in Virginia. So I think that wrestling is a sport that if you can work really hard at it and get really into it, you can be successful no matter where you start.
That's awesome. Audrey, I wanted to ask you, kind of coach touched on this a little bit, but like the stigma, the idea of like, oh, I got beat by a girl and why that's a bad thing. You know, do you kind of see that still with like classmates you have or even at competitions that like, oh, no, you know, girls wrestling is totally different than boys wrestling?
Well, honestly, with a lot of my classmates, they just think it's really cool that I'm wrestling since I guess there is still kind of a general stereotype that wrestling is a boy sport. But then they look at me and they're like, I'm really nice in the classroom, but they can see, like, they can see me being tough on the mat, being really aggressive and just putting my effort there. Like, before freshman year, I had never done a real sport before. So wrestling was the first sport I had ever actually done, which was really difficult, especially since, you know, I wasn't athletic beforehand. And I got into the wrestling room and it was just like conditioning, and then constant practice. But it helped me build up my physical strength. It helped me build up my stamina and everything else. And even just the wrestling community itself, like coach is basically a father figure to me.
Aww.
And the entire wrestling room is just, we're such a close-knit community that I don't even think about how other people view me as a girl wrestling. I just get on the mat and I'm like, I'm going to wrestle.
That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm gonna put my effort out there, just do whatever I can. If I win, that's awesome. If I don't win, then I just need to learn from whatever mistakes I made and just take those lessons to heart.
Luke, tell me this. I mean, you guys can all speak to this. I did not wrestle, but I mean, my impression from the outside is how challenging it is mentally. I mean, like you mentioned conditioning, like you can't skimp on that stuff, right? I mean, you have to be there every single day, the strength, even just like,
I mean, the sport is dedicated to the use of how you use your body against another. It's like, not like dancing, but it's something similar to that.
Where you have to recognize physically where you are and what to do next.
Yeah, and it's really empowering, I think. Or that's what I found when I was in high school. I'm not sure if you all feel similar.
Coach actually calls wrestling like a human chess. Because it's something that you, like, it's all mental. Like, when I first started, because it's my first year, I'm still working on it. I think I'm stronger than everyone. Because I've always done pretty, like, intensive sports. So I'm like, I feel like I can, like, overpower all the guys. But once I did my first couple of matches, I realized, like, no, I really have to, like, do other things and try to use my strength. So it definitely is, like, a lot of mental barriers. Even, like, thinking, telling yourself that you can do it, even though everyone tells you, like, oh, boys are going to beat you. Even my family, some of my family when I first started, mm-hmm. always were like, no, don't do wrestling. You're going to get a concussion. You're going to, like, die. All this crazy stuff that was going to wrestle boys. But it's definitely, like, you against yourself sometimes.
That's interesting. Dale, tell me, like, when it comes to finding those equal matchups, because they can sometimes be with against guys, I imagine. But when you go to these tournaments where you're playing other women, is that a different feel? Or kind of describe that to me.
It is definitely different. I feel like with guys, it's a lot more aggressive. And it's not because they're guys. It's because they have that mindset, like, oh, you're a girl. I need to go even harder because if you win, it's worse for me.
Mm. That's
girls,
interesting.
It's a lot more community. Like this last Saturday, we had a tournament and I got first place.
Nice.
With my class. But the girls that I wrestled with, like right after we finished, we were smiling at each other. We were talking. We were like, oh, that was so good. Like you did this and this and this and that was so cool. And like, it was just more community because it's people who experience similar things to you. Like they know what you go through.
But yeah, you're all like the underdogs a little bit, right? I mean,
maybe
you're perceived as that and you're not actually the underdogs when it comes to the mat, right? But that whole idea of you're sort of new in the sport-ish. I wanted to ask Audrey, I think one of the sort of maybe silver linings of this kind of training is you know how to protect yourself, right? I mean, there's a certain element of this that you can use for the rest of your life if you don't ever become a professional wrestler. Can you talk about that and why you think, I mean, do you think that's an important thing for people to know if they're considering joining the wrestling team?
Most definitely. So my parents were actually, like, they helped me actually get into wrestling in the first place. They were talking to Coach about wrestling and just TJ in general at the beginning.
Yeah.
But then they thought, since I wasn't really doing anything beforehand, they thought both wrestling would be a good way to just train my physical abilities to get me stronger, but to also help me defend myself mm-hmm. just so I could have something I could do for the rest of my life. So I know some of the wrestling moves might not be applicable outside in like fights or stuff if I really do get hurt, but some of them definitely, like especially if, like my dad tells me a lot of fights end up on the ground. So if I do end up on the ground, mm-hmm. those wrestling moves I've been learning, they'll definitely come in handy. Like the wins that I'm getting right now won't matter as much. Like on Saturday, I got first place in my weight category. But the skills that I'm learning, they'll definitely keep me safer in the future, especially when I'm getting into college and going out into the real world. I don't know what I'm going to see out in the streets.
Yeah.
So I'll have these in my back pocket to protect me.
Totally. No, I'm 10 years out from wrestling in high school, and I still think about a single leg takedown, double leg takedown, and just, you know, if that ever needs to happen, it's kind of still in my mind. Emma, you know, you mentioned that you wrote about this in your Common app, so it sounds like, you know, you're about to leave high school. You know, are you hopeful that this kind of movement, this spark of, you know, girls wrestling is going to continue on and grow even after you leave for college?
Yeah, I definitely, I'm really hopeful about it. I think that I've seen a lot of growth in our team alone in the past few years. I don't know if anyone said this yet, but women's wrestling is the fastest growing sport in America. And I think that we've seen that a lot in Virginia with it just being sanctioned. A lot of rules that disproportionately affected women have been repealed. Like we used to have to wear these things called hair nets, which was like kind of fabric that covered your hair, except they were very uncomfortable. And it was really difficult to wrestle with them, at least for me. And you noticed that this rule wasn't really applied to the men that had longer hair. They only noticed when the women weren't following it. So I'm really glad that that was taken away. We have access to things like women's singlets now, which are a lot more high cut, and we don't have to wear shirts under our singlets anymore, which is a lot more comfortable. I think that with all of these like new improvements, we're making the sport more accessible for girls. And I think they'll maybe be more likely to try it out and maybe not as afraid as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think this conversation is a fact to that. You know, I think just hearing you all and your reflections, it's been really interesting to hear.
Well, yeah, and I'm especially surprised and inspired actually to hear how inclusive the community is. Emma, you said, you know, are you just seeing that like, really, like within like the teams that TJ plays closely, or are you seeing that in a broader way?
I think that I've seen it countywide as well. Wrestling, it's not only something that you can just like play D1 in college. It can help you with a lot of other sports that you do. So like for me, I also row on the crew team, and a lot of college coaches were interested in talking to me because they thought it was really unique that I wrestled.
Right.
And I think that really helped me.
Definitely. Awesome. I mean, anything that makes you stand out, especially getting into college.
Totally.
But it'll also help you in other sports. You're right.
Sir, I just wanted to say for the record, you as a parent, I want my kids to do something active, especially my daughters, because the real world isn't friendly. All right? We want our girls to be able to protect themselves. The one thing I know about my girls, the little bit of stuff they do know, they'll be able to at least protect themselves.
And it's so situationally important, but also just mentally a confidence. The confidence that you know that you can, when you walk down a street, you know, you can walk confidently and not be afraid because you know you've got skills. That's so important.
And not only just as athletes are you learning like the hard work, the discipline, the focus that you learn from any other sport, but you now have this sort of situational awareness and you're part of something that's like starting. That's like a bit like starting to grow in the beginning of the sport. It's such a cool thing.
In fact, I would love for your listeners to try to donate money because I want to do the first Metropolitan All-Girls Tournament.
Yes.
We want to invite kids from D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and Delaware to come to wrestle at TJ for an All-Girls Tournament.
And, Coach,
a
you know—
super tournament. And we want to invite every young lady that
tournament.
Wrestles and coaches to come out, watch it. And, you know, girls— wrestling in college is getting really big now.
Yeah.
So we want to invite girl college coaches to come. I have daughters and I have granddaughters. So for me, I wanted to make sure that my daughters will have the same opportunity as anybody else in sport.
Guys, thank you all for being here, Coach Phillips. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we can get you with that super tournament going here in a little while.
Hey, hopefully, because we really want to put that event on next year. You know, you got Marymount University over there, Coach Roy Hill. They're about to start their own girls team. That's a local college team that's about to get started up.
Mm.
Well, congrats to everybody for the hard work you've put in so far. And we are really excited to see where it goes. So maybe next year around this time we can check in with you and say, hey, what's up? Whatever happened to Emma or what, you know, where's the program at now or whatever. So we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
good
y'all.
Luck.
Thanks, you.
Thank you, ladies.
And coming up after the break, it's gift-giving season, which means there's going to be a lot of ripped-up wrapping paper. But can you recycle it? We'll talk about it in 60 seconds.
Backed by the experience of its hardworking members, Steamfitters Local 602 is ready to take on your next commercial heating, cooling, HVAC, or refrigeration project. Steamfitters Local 602 adds value to our community through its partnerships with local contractors and building owners, all while keeping the focus on improving the lives of its members and their families throughout the DMV. For work that's on time and on budget, go to steamfitters-602.org to schedule your next project. That's steamfitters-602.org. Steamfitters Local 602, changing lives.
Explain your DNA on 10 cases, man.
You're inside the police interrogation room with the alleged Potomac River rapist.
I'm not guilty on any of this stuff.
So calm, so reasonable. Could this be the man who terrorized women for 9 years before murdering a brilliant scientist 2 decades ago? Experience one of the most fascinating true crime podcasts available. Join crime reporter Paul Wagner for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms.
And before we go, it's the holiday season, which means things are being wrapped. But what do we do with those wrappers after we're done with them? Christy King is here because she's got a story to tell.
I am so surprised to learn plain old paper isn't always recyclable.
Right.
Fairfax County Department of Environmental Service, you know, the public works people who pick up the trash and do the recycling.
Okay.
They put out helpful hints, don't do this. The tissue paper that you shove into the gift bags,
right?
You know, to hide the thing inside the, you're not supposed to recycle that.
Dang.
And all wrapping paper is not created equally. Don't even bother putting in the recycle bin paper that has, what's it called?
Like any type of sheen or when it picks up the light.
And metallic, glitter.
Wow.
Any kind of applique, bubble wrap.
That you can't recycle
foam,
that?
Peanuts. And when I was
really?
Thinking, yeah, well, see, the thing is, you have to know what the peanut is because some of them are potato, right? Some of them are environmentally friendly. But the styrofoam, I didn't put that in my web article, styrofoam, because that's actually like a product name.
Okay,
like a registered trademark.
Little
the
R.
Foam peanuts. And the bubble wrap, and that can't be recycled. I was really, really surprised.
Wow. All right, so just to review, cardboard boxes, good to recycle. Regular pieces of paper that are used for wrapping, good to recycle. But what else is not good?
Stay away from the recycling bin when you're disposing of bows, ribbons, and tags.
Mm. Oh,
and something else that is kind of funny, I wondered whether someone who made the list from the Department of Public Works and Environmental Services, they said, no ugly sweaters. But also clothing. You know, you can't
right.
put clothing. Although some fabric is made out of bamboo.
But really, you really got to check. So the overarching message here is, check if you want to recycle it. It'll tell you whether you can. And if it doesn't tell you, it's probably not good to put in a recycling bin.
And have fun tearing that paper up.
Don't forget that.
Happy holidays.
Thanks, Christy. And that'll do it for us today on the DMV Download Podcast. We're brought to you by Steamfitters Local 602, and our music is by Real World. Give us a review and rate our show if you get the chance. We love hearing listeners and what they think about this show. You can also find us at dmvdownload.com. This podcast is a product of WTOP News. Listen on 103.5 FM in the D.C. area, 107.7 FM in Virginia, 103.9 FM in Frederick, Maryland, online at WTOP.com, and of course, on the WTOP News app. Have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow.